fire up, are proud to present a glittering new season celebrating the barbaric ballet that we call Rugby League.
You must feel pretty confident with that additional bulk he's put on. Now watch the defence, it'll be fairly violent, I would imagine.
And now the Gladiators
hop away with the left forearm. It was as nasty as we've seen for a long time.
A little bit out of character, he's a very clean player.
Manly slumped to eighth on the ladder.
It's just rubbing salt into the wound.
You can see the head clash there.
Oh, very nasty.
The crowd love it.
They've all taken their angry pill.
This smashes him to ground.
The one-handed pass back inside.
The delicate kick.
And he smacked their bottoms with a beautiful bit of football early.
Thank you, Mrs. Robinson.
Another little slanging match.
He's only 5 metres from the line.
And he's hurt on the bird.
He runs into a wall.
Certainly got some forearm in it for some damage done to him with a boot or a knee. But my heavens, he's really bleeding.
He's come out of it very much the worse for wear.
Bleeding like a stuck pig out there.
And the crowd's starting to go wild.
Intercepted.
Shows it. Goes outside. Steps again. He gets it down. It is a try. Yes, it's a try.
It's a sad, sad commentary on the mentality of some of the idiots that follow Australian sport.
Now, please welcome your muscle-bound maestro, Stephen Ferris, and Chris Gale. As they fire up.
Chris, we are a few weeks into the rugby league season, and I should be as happy as hell. And I am deliberately two hats wearing today. One is the very fact that both of us are winners this week, and a lot of the people that we dearly hate have gone down the gurgler. But I'm absolutely having to show my true strength, my resilience, my grit, etc., by trying to get through this process where nothing is happening in rugby league of any note, of any colour. Have you noticed that?
I have. It's what it's a coin I term, Stephen. Many, many years ago, I actually have trademarked it. Slow news week.
Yes. When you've got trainers running across behind, kicking goal operators.
Attempters.
When you've got Zach Lomax, who's not really looking to get out of a football team, and when you've got activities where no one really cares anymore, like obstruction rules, we're really in deep trouble, Chris, and we're being overshadowed by many other of the great sporting codes in the world.
Well, this is true, Stephen, and it just, like, Vegas seems like a distant memory where we were the only story in town. One of my great pleasures, Stephen, apart from joining you on Fire Up, is going to my local cafe. Hello to Grace, who runs Beans & Co. in Harris Street, Piemont 313.
Hello, Grace.
She's actually in Argentina at the moment, but I'm sure she'll be listening. Order a large skim cup, extra hot. Settle down with my paper and read about the great game of rugby league. Admittedly now on a tablet, but I'm lucky to get two articles, and suddenly they're into the horse racing results. It's crazy.
Do you remember you see front page and back page?
You might have noticed, you've almost alluded to it, the West Tigers, big winners yesterday.
Yes.
Got a picture on the front page, and I go, there'll be pages 6 and 7 plus the sport.
Yes.
You know, the local colour, the reaction and the mood. Nothing. Nothing.
Chris, I'm about to propose that we tackle a topic that's going to lose half our audience straight away.
Oh.
The obstruction rule.
Ugh.
Now, even somebody follows rugby league, I go, obstruction. Okay, that might suggest that you're actually doing something as a defensive organisation by stopping somebody to get to a try, so you're obstructing. But that's not the truth, is it, Chris?
No, it's an arcane rule,
it's
Stephen.
It's an attacking ritual.
It's almost like, I don't know if you've ever played one of those games like Stratego or something like that, or the old war room things, maybe in Churchill times when they're pushing armies of little plastic figures around tables based on complex geometry and the orientation of the human body and the shoulder. Yeah. It doesn't matter what actually happens. It's where you are when it happens that determines it's an obstruction. And it's very, very complicated, but it is, and this is where the NRL and Felix Annesley, no doubt yesterday, or maybe not good Monday, maybe it's today because of the
long weekend,
the Easter Monday game,
yes,
is proselytising about the fact that it's a clear black and white rule, the NRL obstruction rule.
Right, we're going to go down that pathway?
Well,
yeah, okay.
So I feel compelled to a degree.
Essentially, if you're an attacking team and you then use one of your players to sort of step into another of the defensive players' roles, their action is impeded, and therefore you're accused of obstructing the game from a fair defensive point of view.
Well, if only it worked that way, Stephen.
If only it did. But not that cut and dried, is it?
But first of all, you're able to step in and run a line and go in certain directions in relation to inside and outside shoulders. So it's where you're doing the stepping and how you're doing the stepping.
If you suddenly dropped your dacks, would that be obstructing the opposition? Are there other means and methods, Chris, or is it really cut and dry? Is it black and white?
No, that's the distraction rule as opposed to the obstruction rule.
Right, yes.
And so the particular case in point was out there at Allianz Stadium, Stephen. Like, I love those. By the way, I really hate the Easter round because we always play on the Monday. It's 5 days of rugby league I have to endure before I know whether I'm happy or not.
Did I hear you say that?
5 days. Because I love playing on a Thursday night and winning.
Yes.
Sets up the whole weekend.
Put it in the bank.
Exactly right.
Yep.
So the Roosters are working their offensive magic down their right side. And Jarrod Warrior-Hargreaves, Mr. 301 games, runs a legal line through the defence.
Yes.
And by the time he gets to the try line, Dylan Edwards, the fullback, is coming across in cover. But he ain't going to get there, Stephen. He's 15 metres away from where the try is scored.
So this is Dylan Edwards on Jarrod Warrior?
Dylan Edwards runs into Jarrod.
Yes.
And bunker referee Chris Bunker Butler, after much deliberation, declares it a no try because Dylan Edwards was obstructed by the black and white letter of the law.
Right. And what is the letter of the law, Chris?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Context. It's the right shoulder and the left clavicle, all those sorts of things, and prevents him by being where you shouldn't be from having the opportunity. And this is the trouble, right? It gets very, very confusing. And so what you have is this counter movement, Stephen, that the black and white letter of the law, as I've just proven, impossible to explain. So what you should do is apply, get this, discretion and judgment, saying, yes, the collision has happened or the player is standing in an illegal place, but has it realistically, practically prevented the defence from having an attempt to stop the offensive
and
player?
And Chris, we just went off the last page.
Yes.
We've gone off all plateau, all formats, all platforms, everywhere you go. So that is why other codes are killing us right now, Chris. Not a single atrocity at all. Can you remember the last atrocity that was committed under the name of rugby league? Because it certainly wasn't Las Vegas.
No. Well, where do you put the Spencer Leno matter? I mean, it's an on-field. That's not what we're interested in. We're interested in off-field atrocities.
Yes.
Closest we got was a one-game suspension for Penrith hooker Mitch Kenny for alluding to a couple of troublesome lines, getting him in trouble around Boxing Day. And none of that was proven. He said his account was hacked.
So that was old news.
Yeah. And so that's been it for rugby league. The atrocity meter, Stephen, it's just sitting here on zero.
Like, we all remember last week that the Chloe Hotel, one of the favourite spots for atrocities for rugby league, was actually a bastion for AFL women's players copping a drive-by of cocaine. a book in.
So the Clovelly Hotel is number three on the Fire Up atrocity tour, Steve.
That's right.
Something that we continue to pitch to Destination New South Wales, which was so bravely supported by Cooper Cronk. Him promoting New South Wales tourism always seems odd to me. We haven't got to get it over the line yet, so I think we have to pitch to your old crowd, Vivid, that this should be part of the cultural program, Steve.
Right.
But it's gone very quiet for rugby league. There is a tattered Sydney Roosters flag flying there.
Yep.
And I think a less than tattered Sydney Swans flag.
Yep.
Now, the rules were, outside the Clovelly Hotel, silver Toyota, stopping it.
Yeah.
Don't do any of those things. Unfortunately, these two Swans AFLW players did.
So this is a delivery service. And Chris, I say to you, why would you need a delivery service when great big packets of cocaine are washing up on the beach anyway, free of charge?
That's right. They should have kept going past
straight
the Clovelly
the water and just
to
wait,
the beach.
Bide your time.
But they got lazy.
They got lazy.
Yeah, and so they've
been washed by the filth, right?
They've gone for the mobile delivery. And this is a beautiful touch, Stephen.
Yeah.
The transaction, allegedly, which has been admitted, occurred, and then some investigators, I don't know how you're identified as an investigator, but they'd, excuse me, ladies, did you just purchase some drugs?
Yes.
And we'll come to this great player later. In true Reese Walsh fashion, they said yes.
Yes.
And it's cocaine.
Yes. Straight off the bat.
Just cut out the middleman, which is what they're trying to do these days, more and more.
Shows a very solid upbringing, Chris.
Well, this is it. I mean, the AFL and the AFLW players may behave illegally, but they do have good manners.
They're righteous.
That's
righteous. Now, on the bigger picture, of course, the AFL have owned up to the fact there's a few, I guess, bad apples, black sheep, who have then gone on and used this loophole, which says if we're sick or injured, we cannot be detected or tested for drug abuse as well.
Well, owned up is a very strong term, Stephen, and I know you and I can hardly bring ourselves to read anything in the papers about the AFL, but I think Independent Senator Andrew Wilkie might have coined the pun, talk about your white line fever, it's really spilled over into the off.
Who is the whistleblower?
Well, very, very good question. But the allegation is that each code has their various illicit substances policy, and a lot of it is done under essentially the cover of darkness. You know, the player's identity is protected during the opening phases of these things.
Right.
And the suggestion is that a number of clubs, when declaring a player is unavailable for personal reasons,
they're off limits.
They've actually tested positive for recreational substances and they're keeping it off the books. Yeah, a ruse. It's a distraction, not an obstruction, or maybe exactly. Both.
Yeah. And as I say, a few bad ones then absolutely besmirched the rest of the AFL.
Well, one of the coaches came up and said, this is a terrible thing for the welfare of the people who actually need to be off for personal reasons.
Yes.
Because they're now all wearing the taint of the personal reasons catch-all as, oh, they're off for personal reasons, they must be on the gear.
Yes.
It's a huge PR problem for the AFL, Stephen.
Is it a problem though, Chris?
No, because they're all I see when I go for my coffee is pages after pages about the AFL
atrocity.
Exactly.
Or potential atrocity. Like,
both codes, they're indifferent. AFL, AFLW, bring it on.
So you got any recommendations?
Yeah, well, I think what we need to do, Stephen, and we are always at the vanguard of the cutting edge of reporting in rugby league,
yes.
is I think we need to investigate the fact that if AFL's got the jump on us at the moment,
yes.
and Vegas is a distant memory in the rear vision mirror, is to look a little bit harder at the tea leaves in what's actually going on in rugby league, and we can start to feel good about ourselves again.
Oh, yes.
So we've been talking a lot about language this year,
yes.
and one of the expressions that's popped up occasionally in rugby league is unavailable, slipped in the shower.
So your groin will be in trouble.
So I always regarded the rugby league bosses as smarter than the AFL bosses, fact. And all they could come up with down in Victoria was personal reasons, right? Much more creative, slipped in the shower. Now the important thing here is, Stephen, because if you read the article about the obstruction alleged by the Cronulla trainer against Jamal Fogarty when he was attempting conviction in Canberra.
We're getting into sort of cricket territory here, aren't we?
That's right.
Where they've got whites so that the batsmen don't get distracted by some sort of colourful object like a bird or somebody throwing a chip wrapper or whatever.
That's right. And there was precedent when a Parramatta trainer distracted Nathan Cleary attempting conversion back in 22 to his busted.
And you're talking about Alfie on JT?
Yeah.
2015.
This article, by the way, it's such a slow news week that the Herald has to get Shamus and Pengilly to write the article.
To write a dud article.
That's right. Yes. And in both instances of the alleged obstruction, the Herald has said there is no suggestion that either of these obstructions occurred. Now, in the modern parlance, Stephen, when I say with all due respect, I'm affording no respect to the person I'm saying with all due respect to.
Yes.
These days in modern journalism, when they say there is no suggestion, they're actually saying these things are facts.
Yes.
Right. And I think that we have to look behind the canny work of the NRL and say, slipped in the shower, there's something going on here.
Yeah.
Without, there's no suggestion, however, that Cameron Munster on this occasion is involved in the use of illicit substances.
Right.
I've only got one vocal cord left, but geez, I like to fire up.
And there's a new version on the street, Stephen. Have you heard about this?
No, tell me.
Albert Hopawade.
I wonder how we're going to link that one up.
One of the many Hopawade children.
I think he's 14, isn't he?
And counting.
They eat a lot.
It's just like
huge budget.
It's just a very Hopawadi Christmas would be quite a good sort of behind the scenes special, wouldn't it?
And what's the charming that the old man done?
Well, what's happened is Albert, son of John,
yes.
Hopper to you and me, withdrew from the Canberra-Cronulla clash in the lead up before the weekend due to a bizarre cooking accident.
Okay.
And one wonders whether slipped in the shower.
No details.
Cooking accident.
Mm-hmm.
Are now the modern vernacular for something else going on in rugby league. But there is no suggestion that Albert Hopawade has done anything wrong.
Wasn't famous that once in talking about crack cocaine that Richard Pryor and Andy Gibb both blew themselves up trying to cook something up?
Yes, that's absolutely correct.
You're not suggesting anything of that nature.
I'm not.
No, you're not. You're actually saying he was trying to cook something up physically and had an accident. And what, the best of rugby league, you have to run in fright because there's somebody investigating the problem there?
By the way, what a sad story Andy Gibb is. But can I just read from the Astonishers Press, Stephen? Raiders star Albert Hopewadi suffered serious burns to his arm after an oil can exploded. First of all, who's got an oil can lying around in their kitchen? What type of oil are we talking? Granola, canola or olive oil?
So there's no suggestion that he was actually trying to eat his own arm, was he?
Well, hang on. Uh-huh. It's funny you should say that. It was a teammate, Corey Narara, Harawira Narara, I should say, his house is, of course, himself suffering from that incident last year and unable to play. The Herald reported that Hopewadi suffered, severe burns to his right arm when an oil can behind a barbecue exploded.
Ah.
Seems an odd place to leave an oil can. He still tried to train the next day. He was out for the clash, but this is where it gets interesting. Hopewadi's father and former Manly winger John Hopewadi couldn't resist a lighthearted dig. I always told him he was a bad cook. He's tried to cook his own arm.
Right.
He then goes on, and this is like, you know, and Hopper knows about cooking, Stephen. I mean, you might remember many, many years ago those allegations of the finger up the date when he represented My West Tigers.
That a temperature test?
It's like how he based a turkey.
Chicken. Yeah, it's exactly. Turkeys,
it's just,
yeah,
it was course, just a reflexive yeah, habit, yeah, yeah. right? Against the Cowboys all those years ago.
If it doesn't reach a certain temperature for a certain number of minutes, then it's not ready to go.
That's right. So Hopper was just like, I'm in a turkey situation here. What do? I'll try and baste it. And this is it. Hopper, a great man, great human, great comedian.
What's he say?
Albert takes after his mum, Brenda. She's the worst cook in the world.
He's a charming man, isn't he?
Fantastic.
Is this not just a case of the marketing communications division at the NRL have gone, we need some drama. We need an atrocity. Who are we going to call? Let's call Hopper. He'll have some member in his family causing some nonsense somewhere.
Bottom of the barrel stuff.
Yep.
It sort of creates an image where maybe with the A Very Hopper Christmas, you take a second look at what's actually brought out on the table.
That was a special, wasn't it?
Well, it is next season, Stephen.
Yeah. And an Easter special to boot. So let's eat. Let's cook.
Let's cook.
FBI Radio Sold Out is back at the National Arts School Darlinghurst on Sunday, April 14.
A celebration of the best grooves, club classics, new soul and disco from 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. We sold that broadcast live from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Catch me, Stephen Ferris, Kate Munro, Josh Beagley, The Godfather, Jonathan Chalui and Finlay Ferris.
Plus live performances from Juanita Tippins, Sergio and Leroy Jones. Tickets available now from Humanitix. Sold Out Live. Helping FBA Radio level up the training ground.
To win tickets, head to fbiradio.com/presents.
Getting excited, Chris. 2 weeks, just under 2 weeks to go.
Yeah, and I think that competition to win tickets is just about done, Stephen. It's time to purchase your tickets at Humanitix. Yeah. And we should disclose that in sort of a spirit of cooperation and friendship, we've scheduled the party for when the Dragons are playing the Tigers out at Campbelltown.
We did not, did we?
We did, indeed. That's scheduling
gone
wrong.
Trust us, eh? Trust us. Yeah.
What a calamity. But there are some tickets left, Stephen, but I would be moving now.
We will not be distracted.
We will not be
distracted. We will not be obstructed.
There'll just be a big screen.
Yeah.
Directly behind the DJ riser.
Stop the song. The result is 16-17.
Hang on, there's a trainer running in front of the...
Oh, no. Yeah. We will not bleed the segments here, Chris. No. We are talking now. That is an event happening Sunday week.
Yes.
2 o'clock till 9 p.m., live broadcast 5 till 7 on FBI.
You and Kate Munro will do that, Big Stephen. We've got Jonathan Chalou. We've got Finlay Ferris. Yeah. We've got The Godfather, which is me, Josh Begley.
Yes.
Live performances.
Live acts. And most live acts, I think, we'll put a run order out pretty soon on the socials.
Juanita Tippins, Leroy Jones, and Sergio, Mike Scott, the MC Judy, Stephen. It's a panoply of funk, soul, disco entertainment.
And a winner.
Yes.
Great. Now, back to rugby league. Last night, a man who follows the Rabbitohs, South Sydney, copped the Rabbitohs curse big time. And this was happening in Las Vegas. We're talking about Tim Zoo. I did watch it. I did not go. You did not go.
No, no. Unhappy hunting ground for all things rabbits, Las Vegas this year, Stephen.
Yes, not so in this particular situation where they took a gamble after, of course, Tim Zoo lost his fighting partners at the last minute and decided to take upon this fellow who's 6'6". And no offence to you as a tall guy, he looked like Lurch, Chris. He did. And how is that? How is someone supposed to get a within, I think, 28 centimetres of reach and height?
Yeah, in order to qualify, that kid, Sebastian Fandora, had to be pretty skinny, and he
Fandora.
But he's got those sharp elbows,
Sharp
Stephen.
Elbows, and he clocked Zoo on the head. 10 stitches, I believe.
And it seemed like an unwise thing to do, to change who you're fighting just 10, 11 days out from a sort of career-defining fight. You were watching. The elbow wasn't inadvertent, Stephen?
No. It just happened to be like lurching around, dare I say. And Zoo just
Hang on, that is inadvertent. Are you prepared to say there is no suggestion that Fandora deliberately elbowed?
There's some. Obviously, there was some crookedness going on, surely. And Zoo stupidly put his head down straight forward like a tackle and then copped it and then could not see a damn thing. Now, how much blood do you see in most... I mean, you remember when AIDS was ruling the world and you couldn't have anybody on a field or a sporting team with blood? Now it doesn't matter. It just flows and flows and flows. Not to mention how much oxygen he was losing.
That's right, through the blood.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. And he couldn't see it. Of course, I think hubris associated with South Sydney.
That's right.
Instead of saying, hey, I can't fight, I can't see, he just kept on going and going and nearly won.
I mean, if I was in Tim Zoo's camp in the lead up, I would have fabricated something myself to withdraw because of how badly the, at that stage, club in crisis, South Sydney Rabbitohs were travelling. And one wonders if a win against the Canterbury Bulldogs actually gets you out of crisis.
Yes.
But there is a club in crisis just quickly, Stephen.
Right, it's not one of ours.
It's not one of ours?
No.
Gold Coast.
Desi looks desolate, doesn't he?
Desolate.
He's terrible.
He hasn't won a game as a first grade coach since the Abbott administration, as far as I can see.
Correct me if I'm wrong, this was against the old man Bennett, right?
Yes, the Dolphins.
Oh, man, he would have loved that, wouldn't he?
Top of the table Dolphins.
Top of the table Dolphins.
And
Why can't they call themselves a place, a name, a location?
I hate that.
Like,
I keep saying this NAF idea that by geographically identifying yourself, you're restricting your audience. So I go, hang on, Manchester City, Barcelona, Los Angeles Lakers. What are we talking about here?
And have they done like focus reports, et cetera, et cetera? Do the kiddies really like that? Do the kiddies really want to just say the Dolphins are not Redcliffe?
No, the kids want to send a belonging. They want to know where they're from.
Sense of belonging.
What their origin is. They talk about being a tribal game. How can you be a tribe if you don't have a place of origin?
Exactly.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, still there on top of the table.
Yes.
So there might be something on that.
I take that.
You know how bad it is for Des, Stephen?
How bad?
He's potentially thinking of bringing Nathan Brown on board.
Wow.
The Brown Polish as part of the coaching staff. And if he was smart, he would have got Brown on board last weekend, because we know that Nathan Brown has it in for Big Wayne after the Little Wayne controversy, and it might have just put the Dolphins off their gyroscope.
Right. Now back to us.
Yeah, well, you talked about how much blood in the Tim Zoo. You had a modern culture analogy to what it reminded you of.
Correct? Yes, Carrie in the prom scene.
Right.
Buckets of blood.
Sissy Spacek. Let's not talk about the remake.
No.
We've been talking about rugby league language this year, Stephen, and it has been up until now the rise of True Grit.
Yep.
And whilst it's a John Wayne movie, you have an actor that it evokes for you, the concept of grit.
Well, yeah, we could name it through, couldn't we? I mean, there were local... Last night I saw he's back again, which is Jimmy Barnes, of course.
Well, he's got True Grit. There's no doubt about
it. He's definitely got True Grit. And he's a man that can't be stopped, of course. And I'm talking about... Jeff Fenwick, who's apparently down and out at the moment.
No, Fenwick not doing so well.
Charles Bronson. He's the man.
Personification of grit.
Yes. I mean, there's Matt Nable, of course.
Yeah.
He might step up, you know, pretend to be the Australian Charles Bronson. But, I mean, that's the essence. And, of course... I don't know if necessarily winners do have true grit. I mean, I watched the St. George Illawarra team, and I think it was because the number of mistakes that Manly made, they lost the game.
It was 15 errors each, which, like, it was, dare I say, a mistake-a-thon.
Yeah.
By the way, you make a very good point about Matt Nable. If there's one thing that really irritates me is those Fox montages, and the graphic comes up narrated by Matt Nable.
Yes.
If it said, narrated by Matt Nable, Australia's Charles Bronson...
That'd make sense.
I'd be pretty happy.
I'd be happy, yeah.
So you prevailed in, let's face it, a bludger of a game.
Yes.
But this... this concept has reared its head again, Stephen, and it's replacing grit in the rugby league vernacular. Let's hear what your coach, Shane Flanagan, had to say.
All week you talked about defensive resilience, resilience, resilience.
Yep.
I think it got through.
Yeah, it did. It did. It definitely did. Yeah, we weren't that great, especially in the second half. The start of the second half, our completion rate was awful, but we showed some real resilience defensively and kept turning them away. And you know, to keep the talent in that football side basically six for most of the game was a really good job. I was really happy with our attitude. I've got a good football team here, but I know it. I just could convince them.
Ah, they don't know it yet.
Zach Lomas, is that what he doesn't know? That's why he wants to go.
And who was the ice skater, Chris, that won from last?
Stephen Bradbury.
Yeah, yeah. Now, did he show the same sort of grit and endurance and resilience? Because that was just a lucky spot, man.
Well, this is the thing, right? When my concern with the concept of resilience, which is everywhere, right? Absolutely everywhere. You know, like the Resilience Project by your mate, my mate, Hugh Van Kylenberg, over 1,000 schools have signed on, you know, empathy, mindfulness and whatever else. Gratitude. Like, oh my God, those concepts drive me crazy.
We didn't hear any of that at Tim Zoo.
None. Maybe, because why? Because he lost. Why? No resilience. Elbow to the head.
Yeah, yeah.
10 stitches, that's gashing, right. Bleeding everywhere.
Same thing would have happened to that ice skater as well.
That's right.
Left a trail of blood and not one.
Like, if those four other skaters, including, I'll never forget his name, Apollo Ono, had not fallen over, and no resilience.
Apollo Eno's brother.
That's exactly right. I think he's actually the love child of Brian Eno and Yoko Ono.
What a great look.
So I think resilience is just another term for victory, Steve.
Yes.
And the reason,
we'll take it.
And the reason, exactly, because this is what Aiden Caesar and like everybody else, hail Caesar, hail Caesar. Yeah. This is what Caesar Salad had to say after the Tigers' breathtaking victory at Combank Stadium yesterday.
Shoot. The match winner, kicking the field goal. Aiden, what a performance by yourself. How did it feel kicking that field goal for your team to get your team's victory this afternoon?
Yeah, Braith, it was... I felt relieved. I was a bit messy there at the back end with you know, kicking the 7-tackle set and all that. But, you know, we got the 2 points. I put the field goal over even though it was messy. But, yeah, really, really happy, really pleased for the boys. I thought our resilience was first class in the first half, and that obviously laid the platform to get the result at the back end there.
So ours was an upset. What was yours?
29 tackles on our own try line defenders, Stephen. Mm-hmm. Lockie Galvin into the sin bin when we then conceded a penalty to go down 14-6 and were able to manage that period with no further damage on the scoreboard. Personification of resilience. But basically, it just means that we won.
Just stay there and be the last man standing.
But the plague is so pervasive. First question in the presser, Benji Marshall, part-time coach.
Okay.
Benji, so much to like about that game. Where do you start?
Oh, just the resilience our team showed.
Like it's a mantra.
Just the resilience.
This is the trouble. I'm not learning anything.
No.
But Benji did actually have a funny thing to say about the fact he got emotional about young Lockie Galvin and what a great game he played.
We just love the way he plays, the way he is. And to come back on after probably feeling a bit down about himself and produce what he did, just shows his character, you know.
You seem emotional. Was it emotional?
No, I just lost my voice singing the team song.
Now, Chris, resilience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that Leichhardt Oval has resilience? Or has it been dealt a death blow?
Yes. Well, you know, it's on borrowed time, Stephen. Yeah. And if it does come back, it comes back for one reason and one reason only. It has undiscovered resilience.
Okay. And within that, I guess, attractiveness, Darcy Byrne doesn't quite see it, does he? He's not willing to put his hand in his pocket, is he?
Well, this is the big problem. They've all got something to say, Stephen. It should be, and I would support this, remodeled as a sports hub. Particularly
we're talking about the power brokers.
Women's
here, right?
Sport. But the power brokers, and they line up. Darcy Byrne, Inner West Council.
Yeah.
A lot of talk, no cash.
No cash, no.
Chris Minns, a lot of talk, definitely no cash.
Definitely hospitals and schools.
Exactly.
And next election.
Is there going to be a Ricky Stewart, Peter Fitzsimons ticket? Running politically on the schools.
Wow.
And because Ricky did say he's all for schools and hospitals.
Yeah. Will Lisa Wilkinson join as well?
Well, defamation proceedings pending. You've got to pay for the legal bill somehow.
Yes.
And then Anthony Albanese waded in. Talked about the importance of Leichhardt, you know, seat of Grangela, et cetera. No cash.
So who's got the cash?
Who do you think's got the cash, Stephen?
Well, I think that if the NRL offloaded a few hotels, they might be in cash.
Well, Peter Volandis has said, we'll take Leichhardt off your hands.
Yeah.
Because they are building an asset portfolio, the Gamboro in Caxton Street.
So they're sort of multi-pronged though. Not only do they put accommodation up, but they put proximity to entertainment, they've got food, they've probably got a swimming pool. What's Leichhardt got?
Well, this is the thing. If you sort of look at the investments, I think it's the McCure down at Woolooware near Shark Park. Okay. There's been an investment in another...
That's a bit toxic though, isn't it?
Yeah, another hotel up on the Sunshine Coast.
Okay.
These seem to be income-generating assets.
So they've got a casino prospect?
Leichhardt hasn't been really well...
Showgirls, Kylie?
Well, the Star Casino's license is in question.
Yes.
Certainly Leichhardt Oval has not been seen as an income-generating asset in the past.
Okay.
My tip is that Peter Volandis will purchase... along with the English Super League, he will purchase Leichhardt Oval and he'll build Volandis College, a school, and the Royal PVL Hospital.
Is this Alan Bond style, is it? Imagine. It must be a Murdoch University too, isn't it, I'm sure?
People are going to lionise his contribution to the game before Katie Jones comes in and takes over at the Australian Rugby League Commission. And his legacy will be the Gambaro... the McCure down at Woolooware, something up on the Sunshine Coast, and Leichhardt Oval. It's a storied career.
And Chris, I would suggest that the meth lab is involved as well. That's part of the sale.
Look, Peter Volandis is a wonderful, wonderful human being, but he's not a miracle.
No. And therefore, the traffic jams that are occurring because of, what is it, the M5, M6, 7, 8, 9, 10 all coming in?
The Roselle spaghetti in it.
Yeah. Is he going to solve that? Because how's anybody going to get there and get out of there in the first place?
I don't understand why people, there's endless articles today, not about rugby league, but about the Roselle interchange.
Again.
Just knock over the meth lab, problem solved.
Exactly, that'll free up a few lanes, won't it, Chris?
It'll be like one of those American southern cities like Houston or Dallas, the 16-lane highways, Stephen. Right. But you're right about
that. He might be a miracle worker.
It might be a miracle worker. Can he save the eighth wonder of the world, Stephen?
Yes.
Is this year going to be the year for the Tigers that like heart is out? Richo says he doesn't want to go, but he didn't leave us any doubt. He doesn't believe that anybody wants to spend the dough to stop it closing down. Chris Minns has gone and pulled the pin, so the outlook for the ground is stuck. Although he's still gonna go ahead and rebuild Panther Park, where punters will pee in golden dunnies while Leichhardt's dodgy loos crumble down. The marginal seat Panthers fans are pampered, while Leichhardt Oval's not NRL standard. There are many things the Tigers need to have improved, or else they're moving out. So maybe nobody really wants to say.
You know we need some action.
Security and corporate hospitality are the worst at any NRL ground. Foolproof, even the possum in the roof has decided not to hang around. Sometimes when the water system's broken, there's no showers, they have to hose the players down. And all the roads that lead you there are winding. Just a nightmare. To buy a drink and or a pie, you're standing in a queue for about an hour. But lately 16,000 people spent the day there. Trigger Bob can save it. Or maybe they could ask for landing.
great Dennis Carnahan, finger on the pulse. I'm just thinking that maybe Elvis Costello could use him as a ghost singer.
Yes.
Backstage, behind the curtain.
I saw Elvis Costello on The Imposters last night, Stephen, and Elvis wasn't in fine voice. I'll leave it at that. By the way, it has been pointed out that Leichhardt Oval is in Lilyfield, and it's not an oval.
No.
So Lilyfield Rectangular Sports Field, it hasn't
it hasn't got the ring, has
so
it?
So we've got to keep name at the very least.
And gold dunnies. Hasn't got the gold dunnies. That's a glorious little episode there. Chris Gale, this is Fire Up. Now, listen, very exciting news. We've got we had a few rescues. Mitchell Pearce, the man to come. We thought Hop Whitey was a man, but I think it's Mitchell Pearce. He's in love, but is he in wellness, Chris?
So one hasn't yet heard the John Hopewadi redemption story, right? And I don't think we've added to it today. But the Mitchell Pearce story, because it's had its lows, Stephen.
Yes.
It definitely has its highs. And this is the latest revelations that, first of all, Mitchell's in love.
Yes. It's a glorious thing.
Yes, he's met a young lady while she was playing in Catalans, France. She's of the Muslim faith. Yeah. He's full on. He's observing Ramadan at the moment, I believe. He's reading about faith and, hang on, Stephen, mindfulness.
Is that part of the Islamic tenet, Chris?
I'm no expert, but I'm assuming that he's exploring that to show how it's at odds with any sort of sensible faith.
Since he's currently observing Ramadan, as you mentioned, the months of the Muslim year when strict fasting is observed from dawn to sunset. Well, that's going to upset the Hopper family, isn't it?
Yeah, they won't like that.
They won't like that one, yeah. For the first time, it's part of a new approach to life. He's a Renaissance man, isn't he?
He is, because you go way back in our history, Stephen, and it is the 20th year of Fire Up. And before I was officially connected with the show, I did attend one of your live Origin shows, and we did readings from the Mitchell Pearce libraries.
It's a massive library.
It's a huge library. And I think the inference was Mitchell never read a book, a la...
Is that the joke we're trying to make?
L. McPherson, I think. And McPherson, quite rightly, in a Good Weekend interview, said, I can't think of any book that is worth reading.
Yeah. Was she the one also, the only books I read are about me? There you go. It says here he's also been touched, hasn't touched a drop of alcohol over 12 months. Well, that's very handy as well, isn't it?
This, of course, has led to all the buzz that Mitchell might make a comeback for the Parramatta Reels, because with the absence of Mitchell Moses, why not slot in another Mitchell, as in Pearce? But, you know, he's busy reading, he's off the booze, he's off the food, la Ramadan, which we respect and admire.
Yes.
One wonders if that's the right rein to pull for the beleaguered Parramatta Reels to get them back on the winning path.
Well, he said he's keen to mentor young NRL stars and warn them about the dangers of life in the spotlight. And you know, they're many in jail right now.
This is true.
They were warned and they didn't listen, did they? Will that help Parramatta? That is the big question, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think the answer is probably no, but I think that what we're seeing here is that Mitchell's work, done very subtly and quietly behind the scenes, is why we're seeing no atrocities in rugby league. Yeah. He's having an impact, because he was the, if I can use this word, the apotheosis of it, Stephen.
The poster boy.
As it says, what happened when he was caught with Bella?
Yeah. Well, I've got here, it says 2016. It was that long ago, too. He's fined $125,000. $125,000 by the NRL, right? And he was filmed allegedly simulating a sexual act with a dog. Well, allegedly, Chris. Yeah. Allegedly. We weren't there. And urinating on himself at a party. I mean, they're just making stuff up, don't they?
I think we all saw the film. But 125 grand, I'm saying you'd have to kidnap Volandis now to get a fine that way, because they seem to be much more forgiving.
But, you know, he'd be happy about that, because it'd be front page, page 6 and 7, and the back pages, wouldn't it, Chris? It'd be
a lot of reading. And if you throw in his incident at the beach, with Mel's bubble butt.
Put the Chloe back on the map again.
Oh, my goodness. Weren't they heady days, Steve? Yes. No wonder this show, we feel that it's struggling for its existential value, isn't it?
I'm telling you, if you don't like Fire Up, you're a dead shit.
Now, talking of cultural pivot points, Chris, she's not far away from those moments. I'm talking about one, you know, the female that takes the cake, bigger than, what's her name?
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift, yeah. And I'm talking Beyonce.
I just had a new
album.
I have a revelation here, Stan. Is her name Beyonce Knowles?
Yes, Solange and Beyonce.
Any relation to Billy Knowles?
No. Oh, good point.
I'm not dismissing it. Beyonce could have very much in her direct possession Jason Saab's hamstring, Mitchell Moses' foot, and Nathan Cleary's hamstring as we speak. And this is the connection, isn't it? Because the new album.
Yeah. Southern Country.
It's called?
Cowboy.
Carter? Cowboy Carter?
Cowboy Carter,
right.
Yeah.
And isn't there a local cowboy making some noise right now who's not on the field at the moment?
Well, yes, Chris. And I would like to say that it's not new news to go country.
No.
Kylie did it.
Yes.
Madonna did it.
Yes.
Who else done it?
Well, Dolly Parton went rock.
So she went rock. She went at the right time, she pivoted the other way.
Garth, yeah, yeah. Remember when Garth Brooks went rock and he created that Chris Carter, or whatever. Was it Chris Carter? What was the name of the mythical rock star? Didn't go so well for him.
Not Ziggy Stardust. No.
No. I've got it now. Garth Brooks was Aladdin Sane. That's right.
Ah, right. Okay. So, you know, but Cheers decided to really sort of put a foot down and say there is a huge Black American history with related cowboy culture,
yep,
and country music. So not only is she doing that, but she's also got Dolly Parton, Willie Nelson.
Terrific.
Yeah. And Paul McCartney. Just like Dolly did.
I think Mario Van Peebles did that movie Posse, which was showing the African-American contribution to the Wild West culture.
What did we see, though, last week at Queensland?
Well, as the... Can you just reshare your thoughts about Ming the Merciless?
Well, I was watching North Queensland, Ming the Merciless, Toddy Payton, and normally, you know, most coaches of any vigour or in passion will be bashing things and throwing things and yelling things. Even if you can't hear the words, you know they're swearing. Not our Toddy. He is cool as a cucumber.
Well, two things. He shaved off the Max von Sydow. It makes him look less fearsome. And secondly, he's got to be on the beta blockers, right? Because you don't want to end up on those endless montages of Dez, bellyache, Jeff Tuvey. There's got to be an investigation. He wants to be... like Benji and sort of a new age coach.
Evolved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they've got a different form of language.
Yeah.
But let's just go back to the game, which was the Cowboys going down to the Brisbane Broncos at Suncorp Stadium.
A man who has a face like Tim Zhu.
Right.
Right. Reece Walsh.
Whose face is currently in the possession of Billy Knowles.
That's right.
Potentially related to Beyonce Knowles.
Yes. And is that sort of something out of Westworld? They just take the face off overnight, fix it up, put it back on again. Don't know the difference.
You're Brynner. What a magnificent movie that was. Look, I mean, it's a stuck match, isn't it? What's your favourite Brynner film? Westworld or The King and I?
Yes. Well, there's a man of resilience and grit, don't you think?
Resilience and grit.
Yeah. So, Reece is having a great old time, right? I mean, as we could see the other night at the footy, he's about to sign for $5.5 million for 5 years. He's sponsored by Akubra, Aussie Country, Ralph Lauren Fragrances, not Aussie Country. And they call him the Perfume Cowboy. He's wearing a great big Akubra the day. And didn't he look special?
Well, he did. And such a nice contrast than when you're at Queensland training at Mooloolah Bar or wherever they end up with, or Maroochydore or something like that. And there's nothing worse than going down to the breakfast area as a Queensland Maroon and getting that sulfur stench with Cameron Smith. How nice when Reece is in the team to get a bit of a whiff of Ralph Lauren going over the bacon and eggs.
Now, can't
you? Oh, it's gorgeous.
And it does raise the smell of sulfur, doesn't it?
And is there talk about a collaboration between Beyonce and Reece?
Well, that's right. I mean, she didn't actually get Paul McCartney. She just did Blackbird from the Beatles catalogue that Paul wrote. And, of course, as I mentioned, Willie Nelson and Dolly Parton. But, you know, there's late news that somebody's in the studio in Nashville.
Is that right?
Reece Walsh. Beyonce, what do you think?
I think it's beautiful. You can go to Philadelphia, see Billy. You can go to Nashville, recording Beyonce. And when she comes out here, if they ever build a roof on Allianz or Acor or wherever you want. How great. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Perfume Cowboy to sing Blackbird with me, Reece Walsh. It'd be a terrific moment. Yeah.
Would he be in pink? Lights? Like the Rhinestone Cowboy?
Yes. Yeah, it'd be a Glenn Campbell feel to the whole production, Stephen.
Yes, exactly.
Can we leave on one note, Stephen, which I forgot to share with you a little bit earlier?
Tell me.
So we're talking about new age coasters like Toddy Payton and Benji Marshall and their calm, prepared to share a joke. We, I think, exclusively revealed that the key words for the Sydney Roosters and Trent Robinson this year are dial in. As our show producer, Mash, has pointed out, being very much adopted by Michael Ennis as one of his mantra, along with brilliant. But Benji Marshall, part-time coach, family man, very relaxed, revealed yesterday for the second week in succession, he's out playing golf right before match day or on match day, get himself in the zone, devote quality time to the team, quality time to himself. And like Dial In, when Benji wants to get the attention of the West Tigers, this is what he calls out.
Four!
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting roundup of rugby league shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab.
Fire!